And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, another volume of secrets. Oh, yes, indeed, secrets. I love to cover these things. It's really news that, well, no one wants to tell you about, but we will, and we'll enjoy doing it. I have great fun and excitement talking about secrets. Every volume, once a month, we do a volume of secrets here on Power of Prophecy, and these are things that... If they are covered in the mass media, they have a slant that is untruthful. And here we're going to tell you the whole story. You know, I was talking with Victor Thorne. He's author of 9/11 Evil. And, you know, I was in a good mood because we were exposing that 9/11 was an inside job and who really did it. And I told Victor during the break, you know, we have a little break time here. And I said, you know, Victor, isn't it fun just to be able to tell the truth? Not worry about a thing. Not worry about if you make money or if you make enemies or you make friends. Just tell the truth. It's a great blessing to be able to do that and not have to worry about anything else but telling the truth. And that's what we do here at Power of Prophecy. Oh, we've been threatened and intimidated and bullied and praised every once in a while, too, for telling the truth. And we just keep doing it. And the people who want to bully and intimidate us, well, we just pray for them, but we keep telling the truth. Well, today we're going to be discussing some of the elements of truth a little bit. Thought I'd start off with a few letters from our friends. Some of them don't think they're my friend, but they really are. I don't have any enemies that I know of. I really don't. Oh, I mean, I have people reporting me to everybody from the Justice Department to the U.S. Attorney to the IRS wanting investigations of Tex Mars ministry because of what I say. In fact, a little bit later on, I'll tell you about a ministry in Canada. I guess if I was up in Canada, they had already come and closed me down. They just fined a ministry in Canada, and I'll tell you about that. Got a big old fine because they stood up for the things of God. This is happening more and more in America. I mean, there's a reason why we were audited 4 years in a row. No one gets audited 4 years in a row. Well, we got audited for 4 years. Got visited by the FBI several times. I had to laugh about it a little bit because, you know, the IRS, what they were really concerned about with was what we were preaching. Now you say, well, don't they look into your financial situation and your books? Oh yeah, they did that, but that was over and done with and you know, just a few short weeks. They didn't find anything there. They said, now we want to look at everything you're teaching. Well, you say the IRS cannot do that. Oh, really? Well, sure surprised me. They wanted copies of every one of our audio tapes. They wanted copies of all of our books and all of our videos. You know, what do you think I did? You think I hid it from them and said, I'm not going to let you know what we're teaching. No, I gave them what they wanted. They got copies of everything. I think it was good for them. You know, I can just see some old IRS agent burrowed in his little office there. He and a couple of his IRS buddies listening for hours on end to Power of Prophecy radio programs. It gave me great pleasure to give them copies of my radio programs. I wanted, I mean, what are they looking for? Hey, anybody can listen to these radio programs. They're going around the world. Their problem was they hadn't been listening and they wanted to sort of get up to date. Oh, well, wonderful. In my books, I can just see some IRS lawyer poring over my books hours on end, reading books like Codex Magica and Dark Majesty and Circle. I mean, that thrilled the cockles of my heart to know that the IRS investigators were reading my books. Oh, I tell you, it's great. It's wonderful. Yes, indeed. And, of course, they came up with zilch, nothing. I mean, they tried to give us a little bit of trouble. We said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let you do that to us. We'll take you to court. And the IRS said, okay, well, forget it. Bye-bye. I mean, we stood up to them in a nice way. You know, when the IRS agent came in, I said, sit down and have a cup of coffee. I remember one time I picked up my Bible and the guy almost had a fainting attack. You're not going to read that Bible, are you? He was afraid I was going to start reading the Bible to him. Well, I tell you, friends, you know, God has put us here to be a light on a shining hill. And it's fun when the doubters and the skeptics and the cynics listen into my radio program. I love to get letters from them. A lot of people say, Tex, it must make you feel real bad to get a letter from a doubter or a skeptic or an enemy, a person that thinks they're your enemy. No, it doesn't bother me at all. Hey, here's a letter from email, actually, from Chris Kramer, way over in the Netherlands. He says, hello, Mr. Mars. I would like to say I'm a big fan of your work and have learned a lot from you over the years. It is good to know there are people like you left in this world who are not afraid to tell the truth. All the best, Chris, in the town, I guess, or city of Urk, U-R-K. I don't think I've ever heard of Urk in the Netherlands. Thank you, Chris, for writing. Then Curtis writes to me. He's a Baptist, evidently. He writes and says, hello, Tex. I'm a Baptist missionary working in the former communist country of Romania. We have obtained and used your video, The Blind and the Dead, to help warn of charismatic dangers. We have limited funds, but would like to obtain your videos. Is there any way you can help us? Yes, Curtis, there is a way that we can help you. We'll be glad to send you more copies of our videos so you can use them in your ministry over in Eastern Europe in Romania. So thank you for writing us, Brother Curtis, missionary. We're glad to work with you on that. Hey, here's an attorney. I think it is. They call him Esquire. You know, they sign their name Esquire over in London, England. He writes, hi, Mr. Mars. You are doing a good job, and it is heartening to know that you are very persistent in hacking away at evil. I have copied your link on your computer, internet, to friends so that they can see what you're doing and enjoy it as well. Regards, and it's signed, well, I'll just say RB. I don't want him to get in trouble with the authorities over there, but RB Esquire, London, England, in the United Kingdom. Appreciate your writing, Brother RB. I think it is. Yeah, RB Esquire. I like that, Esquire. Yeah, I think start calling me Esquire, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcast engineer. Yeah, I'll be Esquire. In America, nobody will know what that means, you know, but it sounds good, Esquire. I'm Tex Morris, Esquire. No, I'm just kidding. You know, a lot of people have said to me, in fact, I've had offers from various theological schools and Bible schools over the years inviting me and asking me if I would like to receive an honorary doctorate from them. And I've always thanked them. I mean, they're sincere, I'm sure. But I've always felt that somehow it's a little dishonest. You know, I mean, think of it. There's Dr. Paul Crouch, Dr. Billy Graham, Dr. This, none of those guys have ever earned a doctorate. 90% of the ministers out there don't deserve to be called doctor. You know, I've got a degree from a university in Kansas City, a degree from North Carolina State University, my master's degree, and I've certainly done enough study and writing to qualify for 3 or 4 earned doctorates. But, you know, it's a little bit pompous, a little bit arrogant, especially to run around calling yourself doctor when you haven't even earned it. What's this honorary stuff? You know, I don't, the only honor I want is when I get to heaven. And, you know, if God gives me a cave to live in up there, a cabin, that's just a shack in the hills. I don't, whatever it is, I just want to get there. I don't need to, when, you know, standing before the throne of God, he calls me Dr. Tex. No, I don't need that. Just Tex. That's good enough. Oh. But you know how it is here on earth. People love the honors of being called doctorate. And so I had a friend just recently, you know, he came to visit me and I shook hands with him and asked him how he was doing. And he said, pretty good. And he gave me a copy. He has a ministry and he gave me a copy of his newsletter. He said, have you seen my most recent? It was actually a newspaper. I said, no, I haven't seen it. It's wonderful. And it went on, you know, it said on there that he was a doctor, Dr. So-and-so. And I said, well, did you go away to college? No, it was honorary. Baloney. Well, anyway, okay. Am I being mean? Maybe. I'm sure there are people that deserve honor and, you know, accolades, but it just seems so artificial. But anyway. Hey, here's a precious lady. She likes our ministry, but she says she's a little bit dubious about what we say about the Jews. She said, you keep saying, Tex, that the Jews are stealing the Arab lands. But in Genesis chapter 17, speaking to Abraham, God said, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein there art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. So the Jews have the land forever and ever, everlasting. Well, now sister, let's not put words in there that are not there. Abraham was indeed told, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land for an everlasting possession. Now, you know, Abraham had more than one son. And it just so happens that one son, Ishmael, went out and became, historians say, the originator, the founder of the great nation of Arabs everywhere. That's right. Throughout the Middle East today, and maybe many places around the world, there are Arabs, most of them Muslim, but some of them Christian. And their seed, physical seed, can be traced back to Abraham. Maybe they deserve the land rather than the Jews. You know, when you, Sarah, of course, had children, but Hagar had children. And both of them had the father of being Abraham. So who deserves the land? Who is the seed, the physical seed? Now don't be unfair. If you had two sons yourself, and God said, your sons, your seed will be given this land, well, you can't come back later and say, well, son number one, you get it all, and son number B, you go to hell. You can't be doing that. Let's be fair here. If Abraham's physical seed gets the land forever, then let's not give it to the Jews. Oh. But you know, there is another explanation you may want to consider. Because you see, in the New Testament, it defines, it tells you exactly who are Abraham's seed. See, if you get your mind set on the things of this world, then you start thinking about the Jews and the Arabs and all those things. But it seems that God wants us to think about things that are spiritual, that are really permanent and everlasting. Colossians 3 verse 1 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead? That he is master and Lord? Do you want to be stuck down here below forever? Well, you might be. You might be going a lot lower than this if you're not Abraham's seed. In fact, I want to propose something to you. If you're not Abraham's seed, you're not even a Christian. Can I prove it? Of course. Galatians 3:28 says, they're neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither Jew nor Greek. For we are all one through grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 29 says, if ye be Christ's, if you belong to Jesus, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Move over, Jews and Arabs. I want that land. Get out of there, boys. Give it to the Texans. I'm a Texan. I want Israel. I want Jerusalem. Actually, I don't. You know what I want, my friends? I can't wait to go to heavenly Jerusalem. That great land. Paul said, you're already situated in heavenly places. Quit thinking about some place here on earth. If you think about earth so much, well, God just might let you stay here forever. Even after it turns into a hell on earth. You better start setting your mind on things above, dear friends. Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. All this dilly-dallying about and the Jews killing the Arabs and the Palestinians and the Palestinians and the Arabs committing terrorist acts against the Jews, I'm sick of it. Two scorpions in a bottle. Their affection is set on things of this earth. Well, you know, I like the state of Texas and the land of the USA, but I'm not stuck here. I'm just traveling through. I'm just a pilgrim, my friends. But if you want to stay here forever, well, have at it. When I die, you can have my house. You can have my land. You can have everything. You can have my car. I don't care about it. Can't take it with you, Paul said. You came into this world, said Paul, with nothing, and surely that's the way you're going to go out. So you better set your affection, as the Bible says, on things that are above and quit worrying about who's got the things down here. Quit fighting and killing and lusting and cheating and stealing. You know, Jesus talked about seeds when he talked about the tares among the wheat. I love it. I do. I love it. The kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in the field. Wow. I love it. Listen to this. Jesus explained who sows the good seed. He says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. You see, weeds have seeds too. Weeds have seeds. Everybody that's planted a garden knows about that. You see a couple of weeds, you better watch out. There's going to be some more coming up for long because the seeds are there. The weeds produce seeds too. Satan produces seed as well. But God's seed, who is that? The children of the kingdom. Who are the children of the kingdom? Every man and woman, regardless of race, who believes in Jesus Christ, is a child of the kingdom. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Heaven. Heavenly Jerusalem. Things that are above. Great things. Marvelous things. Now we get back to our Christian sister here who said the Jews are going to get it all. The Bible doesn't even talk about Jews in the whole book of Genesis. Doesn't mention it at all. It couldn't because Abraham was father of more than just the Jews. So his seed are more than Jews. In fact, the Bible says he's going to be father of many nations. Many nations. They're all his physical seed. Now the Jews told Jesus, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. We're God's chosen. We deserve the land. We deserve the kingdom. Abraham is our father. But what did Jesus tell him? Your father is the devil. If Abraham was your father, you'd believe in me. See, sister, we've got a problem here. They're not Abraham's children because they're of the devil. They've rejected Christ. They despise our Lord and Savior. They're not children of the kingdom. Are they Jews? I don't care what they are. They can be Africans. They can be Grecians or Greeks, as we call it nowadays. Romans, Frenchmen, Canadians. They're devils. Yeah, can Arabs be devils? Oh, yeah. Sure. I think that's been resolved in it by Scripture. You see, if you give me Scripture, you're going to be in real trouble. I love people who present Scripture to me. That's when they have a wrong idea of it. And they're sincere. That this is a lovely lady here. But she's wrong about that because she's been told for years and years by people who don't know any better or are deceivers. One or the other. Here's another letter, same lines. Dear Tex, I would like to be taken off your mailing list. I just cannot read another newsletter with you attacking God's chosen people. The Jews are the apple of God's eye, and he has made a covenant with them that he cannot break, no matter what they do or don't do. So God has made a covenant with the Jews, and no matter what they do or don't do, he cannot break it. You know he has? His covenant is this. You become his child. You're born again. You go to heaven. The covenant says, if you don't become his child, you're a son of hell. And that's where you'll end up. That's the covenant. Wow. What a covenant. That's it. Now, that old covenant that says if you obey all these laws, etc., 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 even then, Jesus said, the greatest of the commandments, the greatest of the laws is to love God with all your heart. Well, his son is Jesus Christ. Can you love a man but hate his son? A son who wants only good for you, who loves you so much he died on the cross. Can you look him in the eye and say, I love your father, but I hate you, you scoundrel, Jesus? I don't believe that. Do you think the Father will respect that and admire you if you hate and despise and have a murderous attitude toward his son? Come on, friends. Think about it. Let your heart tell you the truth. And how can you confirm what your heart tells you? The Scriptures. They speak volumes. All right. Here's another wonderful person who writes to me, Marie. She says, Dear Tex, I'd like you to know that the book I got from your ministry, The Synagogue of Satan, was an excellent book. It helped put facts in historical order. I've given it to many friends to read. I don't know if I will ever get it back, but that's okay. I just hope a lot of people read it so we can know the truth. Thank you for your ministry. Signed, Marie. You know, that is one of the problems with my books and the books we offer this ministry. People loan them to friends and never get them back. That's happened to me many times. Yeah, don't lend out Tex Mars' book. They don't want to give it back after they've got it. Well, I can understand why that might be the case. Hey, here's another person. Pat writes me, Dear Mars, just calls me Mars. Right away, you know it's a problem. They don't, not Dear Tex, but Dear Mars. Oh, yeah. Well, now I'm doctor to you, friend. No. Yeah, I'm doctor to you. Anybody that just calls me Mars, I'm doctor to. No, just teasing. Dear Mars, do not send me any more of your trash. The Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Well, you are certainly judging other people. So you keep your trash to yourself. Signed, Pat. Well, Pat, I sure am glad you're not judging me. Isn't it wonderful? Don't send me any more of your trash. The Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Huh? Come again? Well, it's so good, Pat, you're not judging me. You call my material trash. Isn't it, you know, I love the hypocrisy of these people. You're a horrible man, Tex Mars. Don't you know the Bible says, judge not? Okay. So thankful that you're not judging me, my dear friend. Well, evidently Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't judge gays. Old Arnold, who once posed on the front cover of a gay magazine, that's right, totally nude, a frontal shot on the cover of a gay magazine. You say, Tex, can you prove that? Of course, I have a copy of that front cover. I don't show it to anybody. I just put it in my files. I don't want anybody to see that. Oh, who wants to see Arnold Schwarzenegger totally naked? Well, according to the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, the Supreme Court of California has now ruled that homosexuals and lesbians, well, I guess that's sort of the same thing, isn't it? Homosexual and lesbian. Somehow they like to think they're different some way. I don't know why. But in any case, same-sex couples have the right to marry in California. And Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said Friday he supports the court's decision, even though his personal view is that marriage is between a man and a woman. I like these people, don't you? This is what I call the George Orwell 1984 Twilight language. You know, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Of course we oppose abortion, but we're for a woman's right to have an abortion. Of course, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, says Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I support the Supreme Court's decision that a man can marry a man or a woman a woman. You know, I need, Jerry, we need to get that Twilight Zone language. You know, it's like, I love you, but I hate you. I want to kill you, but I want you to live forever. I'm for abortion, but I'm against abortion. Just play that eerie language. Space cadet time, you know. I like it. It's what John McCain did. I'm for civil unions and contracts between gays, but I'm against marriage. Thank you, McCain. It's just incredible, isn't it? What fakers, you know? Yeah, what fakers? It's incredible, you know? It's absolutely... I'm against the New World Order, but I am for the New World Order. Oh, yeah. Don't believe a thing these people say, friends. Hey, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the Canadian ministry that was fined $23,000 because they fired a person, an employee, for being a homosexual. And then we're going to talk about the law in Israel against passing out Christian religious tracts and literature. And then we'll ask the question of whether George Bush is an aggressive, bellicose, belligerent moron. That's what one man said. And then there's the spy for Israel that was just caught. And we'll tell you about what he did, passing secrets to Israel. Israel has more spies in America than any other country, stealing our secrets left and right. Hey, Miley Cyrus recently posed semi-nude for Esquire Mag, we get that word again, Esquire Magazine. That doesn't mean lawyer in this case. Miley Cyrus, the biggest actress, I mean the most popular actress going today, I guess, among the kids. Somebody says there's a Jew hiding in her background. A Jew. Oh, well, maybe that's the reason she did come out semi-nude for the cover of Esquire. We'll talk about Miley Cyrus and the Canadian ministry fined for firing a homosexual and much more when we come back. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. It's Tex Mars again. I want to talk to you from the heart right now. I don't have a book or a tape or a video to offer you today. I just want to talk to you about our ministry's needs. It's very rare when I simply tell you we need your help. We need your financial support and your prayers. I don't often make appeals for love gifts or offerings and donations to the ministry, but I want to do so today. And I want to ask you to remember us in your will. You know, it does seem the events are just escalating so much today that I just don't know how long it will be before Christ comes again. But on the other hand, I don't want to be presumptuous and try to set a date. But I want you to know this much. The very moment he returns, I want to be found fighting for truth. Some people say to me, a few have asked me, why should I support your ministry? Let me tell you why. You should support Power of Prophecy because we're one of the very few doing what we're doing. Oh, if you want to, you know, go to a church or a ministry that'll pat you on the back and everything is just rosy and good, and they love everybody and they don't stand for anything. They don't stand for anything. You can find those on every street corner. Turn on your TV, all of the televangelists, that's all they think about is making positive confessions and positive speaking and lovey-dovey. Well, you know, friends, I simply want to tell the truth. I like to feel good, too. I want you to feel good. And I'll tell you something, my friends. When you know Jesus Christ, he's in your heart. You can't get a greater blessing from that. And that's what we stand for. We stand for truth. We stand for Christ Jesus. We stand also for patriotism, for America, for the Constitution. It doesn't mean we dislike other peoples. In fact, I greatly favor people from other countries. I want them to become Christians and be blessed as well. And I want them to be friends of the United States of America. Why do we need your help? We're the only one doing what we're doing. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I know that my life is in jeopardy. I do. I don't complain a lot about it. I don't run around saying, oh, woe is me. Somebody might want to kill me or assassinate me. But it's true. It's true. We are at great risk and hazard here because we stand up for the truth. And you know, if they ever do come around and start looking for people to fill up those concentration gulag camps, you know Tex Mars is at the top of the list. Of course I am. I know that. I'm on the red list. They'll pick me up first of all. But until then, I'm going to keep telling the truth. I'm going to keep preaching and doing the right thing. Now, if you love this ministry and you love the truth, we need your help. I'm going to be very honest with you. What we do sell in the ministry, in other words, the books and tapes and things that we offer, do not pay the bills. They don't. For one thing, they don't pay my salary. I mean, if we had to exist, Wanda and I, well, we would be starving. We'd be out on the street begging. The only way Wanda and I are able to live at all is because of your love gifts. That's right. You make it possible for Wanda and I to have a home and to eat and get back and forth to work to do this radio show and to write our newsletters and so forth. But as far as selling books and things, we haven't made any money for some years now. Maybe we need to raise our prices or everything else seems to keep going up, up, up. Taxes. You see, we decided a long time ago we weren't going to go to the government and ask for a subsidy. We're not a nonprofit organization. And I think those of you who have loved this ministry for a long time understand why. When you ask for a 501c3 tax-exempt status from the federal government, they now have guidelines. You must comply with their guidelines, and one of the things is you cannot oppose public policy. What is public policy? Homosexuality, abortion, that's public policy. You cannot oppose it. So you cannot tell the truth about what happened in Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, the Iraq War, the many lies of the Bush administration. You cannot talk about Zionism and communism and expose the evildoers in this world. You can't talk about secrets. And to be honest with you, you cannot tell the truth about the Bible and about the scriptures. If you're taking money from the government, if you're taking grants and money from the government, if you're getting a postal subsidy from the government has strings attached. So we say, no, we don't need your money, Uncle Sam. But that means we need your support. You, the listener. Our utilities are going up. Everybody's gas prices are going up. Ours too. Our energy bills are going up. Our staff, for the first time ever, we now have limited medical insurance. It doesn't cover everything, by no means. But up to now, we haven't had any medical insurance. And we need at least catastrophic types. So if a employee gets, you know, cancer or diabetes or something, they'll have some help. None of our employees here have any retirements. We don't have a retirement plan here. I don't get a pension. I don't have a pension from this ministry. A lot of people say, well, every pastor should get a pension. Well, Tex Mars doesn't. We need your help. Our printing costs keep going up. Our radio costs, our costs to keep online and keep our internet websites going around the world. It's amazing how many people are now listening to us online. I get emails from all over the world, people listening to our radio program, and it's changing lives. And you know what? It's giving people hope. Talk about positive. There couldn't be a more positive ministry than ours. I'm telling you, here is the hope that the devil cannot defeat you, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the things that are above are greater than the things that you see here with your eyes. That's hope. In fact, the Bible says that our Lord and Savior is the blessed hope. And that's what we preach. And untold numbers of people have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord through this ministry. Many others now have faith in our Constitution. God comes first, but you know what? A lot of people say, wow, Tex Mars believes in the Constitution. Tex Mars believes in what our founding fathers tried to give us in terms of the Bill of Rights. If you believe these things as I do, and we stand for these things, we stand for morality, and we stand against debauchery and evil and corruption. And we have paid a price. And I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. I'm thankful for everything God has done in this ministry. And I want to tell you something, one more thing. Every dollar you give, somehow it seems God multiplies it. He multiplies it. And I don't know what kind of blessing you're going to get back, but I know you cannot outgive God. Is that a prosperity gospel? Well, in a way it is. Because I believe that God will give you a prosperity of the heart, of the mind. There may be other things God does for you. He has given some people physical prosperity. And then they, that is anyone who is given things of a material nature by God, have a responsibility to use those things for the glory of God. We have been given a message, and we want to use it for the glory of God. And we want you to be a part of this message. It's not Tex Mars ministry. I know a lot of ministries out there that have the man, you know, the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade. Or the, you know, they have their own name in them. And this isn't my ministry. And when I die, and I don't know when that's going to be, I'm not afraid to die. But when I do go on to be with the Lord, I hope it'll continue. I hope you'll remember us in your will. A lot of you have really no family. We want to be your family. And put us in your will. Would you remember us in your will? I know of Christians who leave their money to good causes, the American Cancer Society, the American Lung Association, the March of Dimes, the Diabetes Foundations. They leave their money to these groups, and I applaud them for that. But remember Power of Prophecy, Tex Mars Power of Prophecy, okay, in your will. And we'll make sure it goes into the ministry funds, and we'll use it for the glory of God. And as I said, the way Juan and I operate is this. We first pay all the bills, and if there's anything left over, the donations and love gifts go to Juan and I. That's what happens. So a lot of you have given to Tex and Wanda personally because we need to eat too. And you probably didn't know it at the time. You give to the ministry. But after all the bills are paid, then Wanda and I say, okay, what's left? You know, and many times there's nothing left. And sometimes there is. And I'll tell you, we're going to keep going right here with your help. Now, I want to switch from money to prayers. I believe, and I know you do, that prayers change things. Prayer changes things. I've always considered that no one has ever been criticized by God for praying too much. Have you ever heard of anybody that God said, you're praying too much? Get off your knees. Quit praying. There are some things every once in a while that God says, okay, you've prayed enough about that topic, that subject. Now go on. There's some people even that I've prayed for that God said, okay, you've prayed enough for that person. And I didn't understand why. And I came to find out later that the prayer was already answered. God had answered the prayer and I hadn't got the news yet. And there are others that I think God says, you've prayed enough for them, and I went to them, and I tried to draw them to me, and they would not. Therefore, forget about them. And that is very sad when you get that kind of message from God. Don't pray for them anymore, because they've rejected me for the last time. That has happened very rarely, because God is very generous and merciful and long-suffering toward us. He works with us a lot longer than we deserve, dear friends. Let me tell you that. If it weren't for God being long-suffering toward Tex Mars, well, I wouldn't be in this ministry today. Let me tell you, I don't deserve to be here. I deserve to be headed for hell. But God, in His goodness, was long-suffering toward me, and He will be toward you as well. Now here's a final thing. We want to pray for you. We hope you will write to us. I have not been getting enough letters recently asking for prayer. I'm wondering, is everybody's needs met? Everybody have everything they want? Has everybody got good health? Does everybody have all their loved ones saved? I mean, is everybody just, you know, happy? Well, I don't think so. We have a corrupt world, friends, and everybody seems to be on the edge today. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of desperate people out there. Now, when you ask Tex Mars and Wanda Mars to pray for you and the people of this ministry, we're going to pray for you. You say, well, no, you don't have time to pray for me. Yes, we do. We have time to pray for you by name. I want more people to write to me. You see, you don't understand, but when I pray to God, I get the blessing. When I pray for your needs, God blesses me. I get a blessing by praying for you. Isn't it odd how God works? And here's one final thing. Oh, I've already said three times in a row this is the final thing, but it is. The Bible says God inhabits the praises and prayers of His saints. When you pray to the Lord, He actually inhabits your prayers. Do you want God to come live with you? Pray. He will inhabit your prayer. I don't know how He does it. That's a miracle in itself. He takes up residence with anyone who prays to Him. Wow. I want God to come live with me. I want God to be my ever companion. I want God to come live in my house. When I ride down the road in my car, I want God right there with me. When I have a radio program, I want God in this office. I want him, you know, he doesn't have to sit in a chair. I think he's greater than sitting on anything. But I want him with me. Okay. Those of you who do give to this ministry and give often, thank you so much. Those of you who order books and tapes and videos from us, and then you also tuck in a little love gift of $10, $5, $20, or $100 to the ministry, thank you from the bottom of my heart for those love gifts. Some of you have even written to me, a few, and said, Tex, I put you in our life insurance policy. You're in my life insurance policy. So when I die, the ministry of Power of Prophecy will get, you know, a certain amount of money. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. We are changing things today. We're making a difference. And if you're part of that, think about that. You're creating something that is eternal, that will go beyond this planet, beyond the boundaries of the heavens, into the great, great world that Jesus Christ has prepared for us, beyond our imagination. Now let's return to our regular program. Again, thank you so much for your love gifts, for your help, for your prayers for this ministry. Okay, Ontario, Canada. In a blow to religious liberty, the Human Rights Tribunal, yeah, sure, Human Rights Tribunal, has fined a Christian organization because the organization hired a person and then found out later that the person was a homosexual and had to let the person go. No, you can't do that. You got to have homosexuals working for churches and Christian ministries. And the Human Rights Commission, or the tribunal, as I call it, has fined Horizon Ministries, Christian Horizon Ministries in Canada, $23,000, and ordered them to hire back the employee. By the way, another Christian ministry in Canada recently put out a newsletter in which they said that Islam is not the true religion of God. And they also were hauled up before the Human Rights Commission and fined by the Canadian government just for teaching that Jesus Christ and Christianity are the one true religion. They are being called haters because of the hate crime acts in Canada. Now, friends, they keep trying to push that through. And I understand that Senator Obama and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton alike have said that if they become president, one of the first things on their agenda is to get a hate crimes act passed in America so that organizations like Power of Prophecy will be punished for preaching that Jesus is true Lord, for preaching that homosexuality is a disgrace and a sin. That'll be called a hate crime. And if we don't, you know, lick the boots of the Human Rights Commission they're going to set up, they'll be punishing us too. Well, it's going to be a long time before I pay anybody a fine. Let me tell you that. They'll have to put me in a prison cell, and they probably will. Well, here's another thing you can't do if you visit over in England. A lot of people don't understand that when Menachem Begin, who was a racist bigot all the way there in Israel, was prime minister of Israel, he had the Knesset, that's their parliament, pass a law to restrict Christian ministries. A Christian, even today, can be jailed up to 5 years if he or she offers what they call material inducement to anyone in Israel to convert to Christianity. For example, you give somebody a little book, How to Be Saved. Or you give them a video about Jesus. Or you give somebody an audio tape that cost you $4 or $5 with a Christian message on it. You give it to them free. Or you give somebody a Bible. You go to a Jewish teenager and you say, I want you to have this New Testament. They say in Israel, that is material inducement. You're giving them something of material value. Now, the New Testament may have only cost you a dollar and a half, but it has some value, the dollar and a half, and you can go to prison for 5 years then for giving it, just giving it away. Now, when President Bush talks about Israel being the only true democracy in the Middle East, doesn't it just make you want to vomit? Does a true democracy say, if you give somebody a gift of a New Testament Bible, or a book on how to be saved, or maybe even a pamphlet about Christianity, and because of that they are converted to Christ, you'll go to prison for 5 years? That's freedom? Hasn't Bush and the Jews over in Israel ever heard of something called the Bill of Rights? Well, no. You see, there is no Bill of Rights in Israel. Well, don't they have a constitution? No. There is no constitution in Israel. That's not a democracy. But whatever the parliament, the Knesset, says goes. And that's the law. Now, the next time some Christian evangelical comes up to you and says, oh, Israel is a democratic nation, you just tell them, friends, you don't know what you're talking about. Haven't you ever heard of the Anti-Christian Missionary Act passed by the Israeli parliament? Well, according to Paul Craig Roberts, he was in the Reagan administration. He's a real conservative. I think he's a real heroic man. He wrote an article just recently, May 16th, in which he calls President Bush the White House moron. Now, Mr. Roberts is quite a brilliant man, and if he says George Bush is the White House moron, I'm going to have to go along with him on that, especially because I know that George Bush is, in fact, the White House moron. I see that the former press secretary, head of White House communications, Mr. McClellan, has written a book called What Happened. Now, he was with George Bush 7 years, first starting out as governor of Texas and then in the White House. He was the guy that went out to speak to the press. He was privy to all the information. In his new book, Mr. McClellan, a man who I greatly respect, although he had a habitat with liars for 7 years, says, in fact, that Bush was basically, he didn't use the word moron, but he said he was mentally challenged, intellectually uncurious, as he put it. He says Bush enjoyed deceiving himself. For example, Mr. McClellan, remember now, he was press secretary. He says one time he was during the presidential campaign, when Bush was running for the office of president, he and McClellan and a few others were in a hotel suite. And the phone rang, and Bush beat the phone down. He was mad. He said, all these rumors are out there, George Bush says, about me taking cocaine. Well, I can't remember whether I took cocaine or not, he said. I know there was a lot of wild parties back in those days. And maybe I took cocaine, maybe I didn't take cocaine. I just can't remember. Now, McClellan says that George Bush had a very uncanny habit, not of lying, but just being incapable of remembering. Said he never really lied, he just couldn't remember what had really happened, and he made up stories. I can't remember taking cocaine. I went to a lot of wild parties. I may have. I just can't remember. But these mean old people out there passing all these rumors about it, and now we have to deal with it. Of course, if anybody had asked me, I would have told you years ago, yes, of course, George Bush. He's been known in Austin, Texas as a cocaine addict most of his adult life. And there were a lot of wild parties, just like he told Mr. McClellan, and just like is now found in the pages of Mr. McClellan's book, What Happened. In fact, George Bush used to take off all of his clothes after he got high on cocaine and other drugs, and dance around all the tables at wild parties. Imagine what else was happening at those parties. If George W. Bush, now we're not talking about when he was 16 or 18 or 20, we're talking about when the man was in his 40s. And now the White House moron is president of the United States, and he wants to go over and bomb Iran because he's so smart. He knows more than 16 United States intelligence agencies that say Iran has no nuclear bombs. And Bush says, why, those intelligence agencies, they don't know nothing. I know they do. The White House moron says that president, as, and I was laughing the other night, McCain tried to pronounce the name Ahmadinejad and said, Ahmadinejad. I thought the man was stuttering for a minute, but he just didn't know how to pronounce the name. Well, a former U.S. Army engineer was arrested recently, according to the Associated Press, on charges that he gave classified documents, thousands of documents, about nuclear weapons to an employee of the Israeli consulate in New York. Ben Ami Kadish, an American Jew, well, let's not call him American, although he was an American citizen, was charged in U.S. District Court in Manhattan with four counts of conspiracy, including allegations that he disclosed U.S. national defense documents to Israel and acted as an agent of the Israeli government. Now, friends, can I ask you a question? Why do we tolerate the Israeli spies? Why don't we send the ambassador and the whole consulate packing back to Israel? And why does Bush go over there and kiss the boots of all the Israelis on his on Israel's 60th birthday celebration when they're over here spying against us, stealing our nuclear secrets? Amazing, isn't it? Then we get to Miley Cyrus. I promise you I'll tell you a little bit about her. Miley Cyrus, whose father is Billy Ray Cyrus, the country singer, and she has, you know, this show Hannah Montana on TV, and all the young girls love her, and she's the biggest, hottest young singing star, you know, in the last 20 years and all this kind of stuff. Hugh Hefner, who's been called an old filthy sex pervert, publisher of Playboy magazine, made a $1 million offer to Miley Cyrus to pose for Playboy when she turns 18. She's already been, not for Esquire, as I said before, I was wrong about that. Actually, it's Vanity Fair magazine. She was on the cover. She's only 15 years old, but they had some pretty sexy photos, sort of semi-nude, not totally nude. Her father ought to be ashamed. She ought to be ashamed. The magazine ought to be ashamed for a 15-year-old girl, Miley Cyrus. But guess what? The photographer of Vanity Fair is a filthy Jewish woman named Annie Leibovitz. She's photographed many famous people in the nude, including a pregnant Demi Moore, Brooke Shields, a naked John Lennon of the Beatles, and even Queen Elizabeth. Fortunately, Queen Elizabeth was not nude. And by the way, Annie Leibovitz, the photographer for Vanity Fair, is a homosexual lesbian, and her lover was the Jewish author Susan Sontag, who once wrote, quote, "The white race is the cancer of human history." Oh, these are lovely people. Lovely all. Yep, there's a Jew hiding in the background, Annie Leibovitz. She ought to be ashamed too. Hey, this is Tex Mars. We've been talking about some secrets today on Power of Prophecy. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.